In Genesis chapter 10, there was a man whose name was Nimrod, one of the key persons in all the Bible, influenced by Satan. Nimrod, in Genesis chapter 10 and 11, attempted to build a one-world government with all the nations of the world under one political ruler. He also tried to build a one-world religion with all the religions of the world under one religious leader. He also set out to destroy the lines between the races and to build a one-world race. Wendell Willkie did not invent the one-world concept or the one-world idea. Nimrod did in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. Nimrod was married. He had a wife whose name was Semiramis. His wife became pregnant. She gave birth to a son. But something very interesting happened and startling. While she was yet carrying the baby in her womb, Nimrod died. Hence, when the son was born, it had no living father. So the idea began, spread, that Nimrod was reincarnate and that his son was Nimrod coming back to live again, reincarnate. Here's where the idea of the divine mother and child began. Our Catholic friends did not begin the idea of the divine mother and child, the idea of the mother of God concept. It was begun by Nimrod. Nimrod's wife having a baby after his death, and then the boy, supposed to be Nimrod reincarnate, was born, and his wife, Semiramis, was called the mother of God, and they loved to see her carrying, with a Madonna-like picture, the boy in her arms. Nimrod began something, a concept. He began a concept called Babylon. He began two. The word Babylon in the Bible comes from the word Babel, which means confusion. He began a political Babylon, attempting to unite all the nations of the world. And he also began an ecclesiastical Babylon, attempting to unite all of the religions of the world. Now, from that day until the day that our Lord comes again, there has been, there is, and there will be this system of political Babylon, or one world politics, government, and ecclesiastical or religious Babylon of a one world religion. It was begun by Nimrod shortly after the flood. It will not end until our Lord comes and until the end time days are here. Now, in the end time, there will arise two great leaders for the merging of all governments and all religions. One great mighty man will be raised up to head up the religions of this world in ecclesiastical or religious Babylon. And the religions of this world will be united under this false prophet, the Bible calls him. The governments of this world, no talking please, the governments of this world will be united under one great leader, who's called the Antichrist. So these conglomerates or these mergings or these one world religion headed by the Antichrist, the one world government headed by religion headed by the false prophet, the one world government headed by the Antichrist, will culminate this age as we know it. This Babylon, political Babylon, is what I want to talk to you about tonight, is not a country or a city, but a system. Now, there was a city called Babylon. there was an empire called Babylon. Some mighty good theologians have thought through the years that this city would be someday rebuilt. I do not think necessarily it will be. When God talks about Babylon, he's talking about a system and not necessarily a particular location. For example, Babylon's headquarters could be in Europe. They could be in the Far East. They could be in America. But whatever it is, this Babylon system of confusion, one world religion, one world government, one world race, this one world concept will reach its fruition and its peak or apex during the tribulation period in the end time before our Lord comes back to establish his kingdom on earth. Now, the question comes, where is that system headquartered today? Now, here is the crux of this message. Where is that system headquartered today? This Babylon, started by Nimrod, and which has existed all through these years, and will be the empire headed up by the Antichrist himself in the end time. Now, it will be, of course, we know, a Western Confederacy of Nations. Its headquarters will be, are you listening? I think the Bible teaches that the headquarters of Babylon in the end time will be the United States of America. I think if you'll turn to Jeremiah chapter 50, I can show you. Jeremiah chapter 50. Just keep your Bibles open there. We'll see several scriptures in a few minutes. Jeremiah chapter 50. Now then, all of the end time will revolve around this Babylon, this system of one worldism. Now, where will this system be headquartered? Look, if you would please, at Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 1. And may I remind you of this, that Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51 deal with the destruction of Babylon in the end time. Consequently, whatever we find in Jeremiah 50 and 51, it relates to the end time just before the coming of our Lord and the end of the age, or if you want to call it the end of the world, you may do so. All right, now bear in mind, we're reading about the destruction of Babylon. Babylon, begun by Nimrod, ended in the end time, and here's the end time described in Jeremiah 50. The word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. The land of the Chaldeans means that's where this system was started. It was started in the land of the Chaldeans. It will end somewhere, and we find where it's going to end. Look, if you would please, at verse 12. We're going to skip around from verse to verse. Verse 12. Now, the prophet is talking to Babylon in the end time, in the future. Notice now, your mother shall be sore confounded. Whose mother? Babylon's mother. What great nation on the face of this earth, the great empires of the earth, has a mother? China? No. Japan? No. Russia? No. England? No. Of the great world empires tonight, only one of the great world empires has a mother nation. And that's the United States of America. Just one little proof, I think, that the United States is the headquarters of this religious Babylon in the future. Let's go a step further now. Your mother shall be sore confounded, that she that bare you shall be ashamed. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is England sort of ashamed of America? Yes, she is. Yes, she is. We're sort of a wayward child. And here it is right here. Notice now. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Now then, the hindermost, the word hindermost means the last of these nations. The last of the nations. May I ask you a question? What is the last great nation established on the face of the earth? Take the world powers tonight. China, recently established? No, China's been here for centuries and millenniums. Russia? No, Russia's always been here. The great powers? England? No, no. What is the last nation established of the great nations of the world? You tell me. No talking, please. No talking, please. The United States of America. All right? So we find that Babylon in the end time is the last of the great nations, one who has a mother who becomes ashamed of her, as it were. Now I want you to notice, please, verse 16. If you would, please. Verse 16 of Jeremiah chapter 50. Cut off the sword from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest, for fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one to his own land. Now look down, if you would please, to verse 37. You'll see about the same thing once again. I believe it's verse 37. Let's see. Yes. A sword is upon their horses, and upon their chariots, and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her. Let me ask you a question now. Here's a nation, in the end time, that's going to be the one, the empire, headed up to the Antichrist. It's going to be a nation who has a mother. It's going to be a nation who's the last great nation to be raised up. And it's going to be a nation, there it is, of mingled people. You go to Japan, do you find Mingo people? No, you find little Tanamoris running around all over the place. You go to China, do you find Mingo people? No, Chinese people. You go to England, you find Englishmen. You go to Russia, you find Russians. You watch sometimes the Olympics. You look at those who represent the Germans, the Olympics. It's obvious they're Germans. You look at those who represent the Russians in the Olympics. It's obvious they're Russians. You look at those who represent China in the Olympics. It's obvious they're Chinese. You look at those that represent America. Red and yellow and black and white and chartreuse and maroon and gray. All shapes and sizes. Of all the great nations, which one has a mother? United States. Of all the great nations, which one is the hindermost, the last one, United States. Of all the great nations, which one has a mingled people? The United States. Okay? Look on down, please, in verse 37 again. Mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as a woman. A sword is upon her treasures, and she shall be robbed. All right? So we have, once again, a nation of many people. Look at chapter 51, verse 9. Chapter 51 and verse 9, talking about the same Babylon. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, let us go everyone into his own country. What country in the world has people from every country in the world? The United States of America. In fact, what is the motto of the United States of America? E pluribus unum. And it means, out of one, many. Out of one, many. The very motto of our nation qualifies us to be the Babylon of the end time. But look at Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 7. Babylon hath a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Let me ask you a question. What country has influenced the entire world with her merchandise in our generation? Why you go to Egypt? Down in the little villages of Egypt, filthy and out of the way, and you see a sign that says, drink Pepsi Cola and think young. I've been over much of this world. You can hardly go anywhere without Pepsi Cola signs. Hilton Hotels. American Airlines. TWA. Pan American. And so forth. So America, has provided the wine for the nations of the earth. And then the last line says, therefore, the nations are mad. Now, don't leave me now. Think for a minute. Why, what is one of the main reasons why the nations of this world are mad at America tonight? Because we have gone and started our businesses. Mr. Crawl can tell you the trouble he's had with the Hilton hotel chain. They take in Egypt, for example. They won't let you run the Hilton Hotel, right, in Egypt. Why? They're jealous of America. American interests have gone around the world. And so the entire world has drunk of our wine. And therefore they're mad. We fed this world, and the world has gotten sick of us. And we're the rich neighbors down the street that nobody likes because they drive a Cadillac. And so this Babylon, this end-time Babylon, is going to be in a nation that has a mother, that's the United States, a nation who is hated by other nations, that's the United States, a nation who has sent her merchandise to other nations, that's the United States, a nation the last of the nations, that's the United States, a nation of a mingled people from every country on earth, that's the United States, but also a sinful and unpopular people. Look at Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 14. Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow, and shoot at her. Spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. What nation is the object? Listen, do you know that we tonight are by ourselves in the United Nations Security Council when it comes to Israel and the Middle Eastern war? Alone! Everybody hates America. You go down to South America, they demonstrate against America. Chile has trouble, they blame our government. Egypt hates America. Europe hates America. The common market hates America. France hates America. England, she can tolerate us because we're her child, but she's disturbed about us. We are the most unpopular nation on the face of the earth. But we are those who also have sinned grievously. Now then, I want you, if you would please, to picture the end time, the battle. On this side, we have America. The Antichrist, the great man of sin, will be, whether he'll be from America or not, I do not know, but he will be on the American side. He will head up the Western powers, headed up by America. Now, I will turn your attention, please, to Russia. To Russia. In Jeremiah chapter 50, look at verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 1. The word that the Lord spake against Babylon, now look down to verse 3, for out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate. Out of the north shall come a nation. Now when the Lord mentions north, he means north of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the center of the world. Anytime you find the nations of the north mentioned, that's north of Jerusalem. Young people, boy, the blue shirt, the blue tie, you keep your eyes focused this way. I'll have you stand the next time you misbehave. The east in the Bible means east of Jerusalem. South means south of Jerusalem. West means west of Jerusalem. When the Bible speaks about the nations of the west, it means Europe, United States, and so forth. Nations of the east would mean China, Japan, and so forth. Nations of the south would be Egypt, and I'll go to that in a few minutes. Nations of the north would be Turkey, Russia, and so forth. Now it says that the Lord is going to speak against Babylon, and in verse 3 it says, out of the north there cometh up a nation against her. Against who? The United States. All right? On this side, you have the United States fighting. On this side, you have Russia. If you would look, please, look at verse 41 of Jeremiah chapter 50. You find the same thing once again. Verse 41, behold, a people shall come from the north. North of where? Tell me. Jerusalem, from the north. And a great nation, And many kings shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea. They shall ride upon horses. Horses characterize the end time battle. Russia is going to come against Israel on horses. Oh, you say, preacher. Oh, how out of date can you get? Everybody knows you're not going to have an end time war fought on horses. Oh, is that right? Did you know that Russia owns and has been gathering the horses of this world for years, and out of every four horses in this world, three of them are in Soviet Russia tonight? Did you know as Russia has been working on breeding a super horse for many years for the end time, for the battle against Jerusalem? Why, or Israel? Why? Because when the battle is fought on the hills of Jerusalem, tanks are of no value. Now, they can use tanks in Sinai. They can use tanks in the Golden Heights. But you keep on going into Israel. Get down to Samaria, where those mountains are. Tanks will be of no avail. Nobody is going to conquer Israel with tanks. They'll take the Golden Heights. They'll take the Jordan Valley. They'll take the Sinai with tanks. But when they get to Israel herself, they're going to have a cavalry. And so Russia is going to come from the north, in verse 41, a great nation, many kings raised up from the coast of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They're cruel, will not show mercy. Their voice shall be like the sea. They shall ride upon horses, every one put in array like a man to the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. Right, on this side, you have the United States and the Western powers. On this side, you have Russia fighting against the United States. Now then, let me just say a word about the result. The Russia will not conquer the world. The Western powers will win the battle. Let me read for you, please, and don't turn because of time. Well, you can turn. Turn to Revelation 16, and I'm going to read chapter 18, but you have it almost there. So turn to Revelation chapter 18, which is close to where you have your Bible marked. And look at verse 17. Here is the picture of the end time battle. Revelation chapter 17 and 18 is exactly the same story of Jeremiah 50 and 51. If I had time, I could show you almost the exact same words in Revelation 17 and 18 as in Jeremiah 50 and 51. So in Revelation 18, verse 17, we have the end of this Babylon, or the United States. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors, as many as trade with the sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, that's America's burning, saying, what city is like unto that great city? Now, that does not mean a city in the sense of a one city. For example, anybody, did you ever hear someone, we have word from Moscow. What does that mean? Word from Russia. You say, Washington sent a report. What does that mean? United States sent a report. Now, the city is called Babylon. It'll be headquartered, the system, in America, and in 1 hour, Russia is going to destroy America. In 1 hour. Now, don't get worried. The Christians will be gone. If you're not saved, get real worried. If you are saved, rejoice. You'll be gone. The Lord will come and take us up in heaven before that. But in 1 hour, the United States will be destroyed. How in the world could the United States be destroyed in 1 hour? Atomic warfare. People used to laugh when I preached on this as a young preacher, and folks would laugh. How in the world could the United States be destroyed in 1 hour? Atomic warfare. Here's what's going to happen. We are going to destroy Russia, and Russia's going to destroy us in a mutual, or shall I say, a reciprocal atomic war, and in 1 hour, Russia will destroy America. And the end time Babylon composed of the Western nations. Let me say now, Russia's not going to conquer the world. Russia's not going to take over Palestine. She will destroy the United States. She will not destroy Palestine. I'll go into that in a few minutes. All right? So you have on one side the Babylon One world government, the one world religion on one side, headed up with the United States and the Antichrist. And the enemy over here is Soviet Russia. Now somebody else comes into the battle, and that somebody else is Egypt. I want you please to look to Daniel chapter 11. The book of Daniel, chapter 11. Starting with verse 3. Now in Daniel 11, you have the end time battle mentioned once again. I want you to follow me. Daniel 11, 3. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. Who is this king? This is the Antichrist. This is the one over Babylon, the Western powers. Look at verse 6. And in the end of years, they shall join themselves together for the king's daughter of the south. Now, any time in the Bible you find the king of the south mentioned, it's the king of Egypt. Any time you find the land of the south in the Bible, it's Egypt. All right, now notice. The king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make a what? Out loud, say it. An agreement. So, what's going to happen? United States and Russia are going to fight. Russia, the king of the north, Egypt, the king of the south, are going to make an agreement. Egypt is going to fight with Russia in the end time war. Let me ask you a question. Whose side's Egypt on tonight? Russia. Now, what I'm going to try to show you tonight is that every nation in this world is all lined up where they have to be lined up for the end time. America versus Russia is the great end time war. All right, now we find Egypt on Russia's side. Look again, please, if you would, to Daniel chapter 11, and look down to verse 20. Then shall stand up in his estate a... Now, this is the Antichrist. A raiser of taxes. Huh? A raiser of taxes. Anybody know a nation tonight that's gone wild on raising taxes? Yeah, you did. I woke you up then, didn't I? United States. Which means, why raise the taxes? To pay for the war. And so forth. A raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Ah, that's wonderful. Who's going to destroy the Antichrist? A battle? No. Anger? No. Russia? No. Who? Jesus. In the coming of his glory. Not in battle. The Antichrist is going to beat Russia. Who's going to destroy him? When Jesus comes again with his own at the end of the tribulation period, the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and following, will destroy the Antichrist. Let's go on down in verse 21. And in his estate shall stand a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he, the Antichrist, shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Verse 23. And after league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably upon the fattest places of the province. Verse 25. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south. Oh, so the Antichrist is going to fight the king of the south. That's Egypt. With a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. Does Egypt have a mighty army tonight? Egypt's army? The army of Saudi Arabia? The army of Jordan? The army of Iraq? The army of Syria? All fighting against Israel. So, you have in the end time battle, United States over here, Russia over here. Are we opposed to each other tonight? Yes, we are. Is Egypt against us and pro-Russia? Yes, she is. So far, we have the nations lined up according to the situation tonight. Look at verse 31. An arm shall stand on his part, this Antichrist, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, that's the temple that will be rebuilt in the tribulation, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Look down to verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. You know why America is getting humanistic and atheistic now? Getting ready for the Antichrist. Look down to verse 42. He, the Antichrist, shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. All right, now, enough of that right now. Let's just take a moment. If I can find some paper here to put here. Take just a moment and get the alignment. On one side, you have the United States. Who's the United States' biggest enemy in the end time war? Tell me out loud. Russia. Who's the first nation we find going to fight with Russia? Egypt. All right. Now then, there's going to be another big nation enter the war, and that nation is China and also Japan, but the kings of the East. All right. You have your Bibles to Revelation chapter 16. You have the mark there, Revelation chapter 16. I want you to notice something about this nation. Revelation chapter 16. Look at verse 12. Talking about the end time war also. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now the word east there in the original language is not east. It's sunrising. Let's put it here now. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the sunrising might be prepared. All right? Then what's going to happen? United States is going to fight Russia. Egypt is going to fight for Russia. Then China and Japan, the land of the sunrising, China and Japan will come and fight on Russia's side. Don't you be fooled, ladies and gentlemen. China and Russia are not the enemies they make like they are. And if Russia and the United States got in a war tonight, don't you think that China would come to the defense of Russia and not the United States? Why, of course. So, China is communistic. You know, I used to preach this years ago. I used to worry myself sick about China. Worry myself sick. I'd preach it and I'd say, China's going to fight against the United States. And yet China was open to our missionaries. China was pro-United States. And just in our generation, China has gone communistic and would fight, no doubt, against Israel. Listen, do you think that China would fight for Israel tonight? Not on your life. Don't turn to it, but let me read you a passage of Scripture. China is mentioned in the Bible by name, and I'll show you. I'm reading for you Isaiah 49, verse 12. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, that's Russia, and from the west, that's America, and these from the land of S-I-N-I-M, Sinem. From the word Sinem gets the word Sino. And what is China called? You've heard of the Sino War? Sino what war? Historians, tell me. Sino what? Sino-Soviet War. Sino is a word for China. And it says, from the north, that's Russia. From the west, that's America. From the land of Sinem. What's that? That's China. So China's going to fight in the end time war. On whose side? On the side of Russia. Now here we have the alignment. We have over here, we have the United States so far. Looks like a pretty rough deal so far, doesn't it? United States on this side. Who's on this side? Russia, Egypt, China. All right, on this side is the United States, headed up by a man we call the Antichrist. On this side is Russia, Egypt, China, and you can throw Japan in there, for Japan is the land of the sunrising. I hate to say this because Mr. Tanimura is here, but Japan and the United States are not going to fight together in the end time war. Well, I just say that puts Japan on the bad side. No. The Antichrist is coming from America. The man of sin is coming from our side. So, you have Russia, Egypt, China, Japan on one side, and America on the other. Okay, now we have those nations. Let's look down to, by the way, let me say this. Mr. Preacher, why would China, what's China got to do with the Jews? Did you know that as early as the third century, Jews migrated into China? The Bible said the Jews would go to every nation on the face of the earth. And Jews are no strangers to China. Now, many of them have been killed, of course. But, to say the least, China will come and fight. Now then, how about the Arabs? What does the Bible say about the Arabs? All right, turn back to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11, we're there a while ago, and verse 41. Verse 41. Daniel 11, verse 41. He, that's the Antichrist, shall enter also into the glorious land. What land is that? That's Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown. Out of these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab. Now, I want you to notice especially Edom. Edom was named after a man. Anybody can tell me who Edom was, what his name was before it was changed to Edom? Esau. Anybody know whom Esau married? Esau married one of the daughters of Ishmael. Ishmael was the father of the Arabs. Abraham, this is review from last Wednesday night. Abraham was promised by God he would have all the promised land. He said, look north, look east, look south, look west. It's all yours, Abraham, and your seed for an everlasting possession. But Abraham had no children. God had promised him a son. No son came. Sarah, his wife, said, Abraham, we don't have a boy, and God's promised to bless us with a boy. Why don't you go in unto Hagar, our bondwoman from Egypt? Abraham did, and Hagar bore Abraham a son. His name was Ishmael. Half Jew, half Egyptian, and that is the beginning of the Arab states and Arab people. Abraham and Sarah then had a boy. Name was Isaac. Now here's one land, two boys. Ishmael said, the land is mine. I'm the firstborn. The firstborn is supposed to be the heir. Isaac said, the land is mine. I'm the promised seed, the spiritual seed. Ishmael had a point. Isaac had a point. You say, Brother Hiles, who should get the promised land? Whose is it rightfully? Ishmael's and Isaac's. Should the Arabs have it or the Jews? The Arabs and the Jews. The Arabs have a right to claim it because their father was the firstborn. The Jews have a right to claim it because their father was the spiritual promised seed. So, from the time of Ishmael and Isaac, Ishmael, the father of the Arabs, Isaac's descendants, the Jews, Ishmael's descendants, the Arabs, have fought for the land. Now listen to me, listen to me. Ishmael's daughter, an Arab, married Esau, and Esau's name was changed to Edom, and from him came the Edomites, or the Arabs, and that's the crowd causing trouble tonight in Jordan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Syria, and so forth. So the Bible teaches that the Arabs will fight on the side of Russia. So, how are we lined up tonight? Okay, who's going to be on this side? Tell me out loud. Say it. United States. On this side? Russia. Is Russia against the United States tonight? And then next is? Egypt. Is Egypt against the United States tonight? Yes. And then China. Is China against the United States tonight? And of course the countries of the East, and Japan is turning toward China. By the way, we have absolutely betrayed Japan. When we started kowtowing to Red China, and Mr. Nixon went over and drank liquor with the Red Chinese leaders, we put ourselves as traitors to Japan. And Japan has every right in this world not to be sick of us. And so does nationalist China, of course. Our friends, as long as we get something out of them. So, you have on this side, you have, that we just found, you have the descendants of Edom or the Arabs. All right, so here we have the nations. We have Russia against the United States. We have China against the United States. We have Egypt against the United States. We have the Arabs against the United States. Now, this is the end time war. So far in the sermon, are the nations aligned, ready for the end time war? Yes or no? Yes, they are. Now, let me just stop and say this, brother. If you've got any sense at all and you're not saved, you'll get saved quick as you can. You'll be a fool. You'll be a fool to live without God in this generation. Oh, you laugh and mock all you want to. You know your Bible, you read your Bible, and you just wait. God is not through with this whole world, and God has a timetable, and God controls the affairs of nations. You put your little puny finger up against Almighty God, and one day God will grind you to powder. God doesn't look down from heaven and say, uh-oh, God knew what was going to happen, and God put it in His book. And so you have the Arabs. All right, so far we have the United States over here. On this side, we have Russia, we have Egypt, we have China, we have the Arabs. By the way, sort of sounds like the fight's going on right now, doesn't it? Huh? What is the only country on the face of this earth defending Israel tonight? The United States. Not because we're so good. It's because we're so crooked we're doing it. But we're doing it. We're doing it because we have to do it to keep our Middle Eastern oil. If we pull out of, we don't defend Israel, and we lose our Middle Eastern oil, we may as well lay down and say, Russia, take over. So we're not going to lay down and say, Russia, take over. We've got to have the Middle Eastern oil. So, United States versus Russia. And by the way, don't deceive yourself. That war is not Egypt and the Arabs against the Jews. That's Russia against the Jews. Russian-made ground-to-ground missiles and Russian-made ground-to-air missiles and Russian-made tanks and Russian-made planes are fighting for the Arabs, or the Arabs are using them now in the war against Israel. Okay, how about other nations then? Turn your Bible, please, to Ezekiel chapter 38. Let's see the other nations. Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel 38, starting with verse 1, we're checking the other nations. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog. The word Gog means chief prince of Rosh, R-O-S-H. It is the root word for Russia, and the word means Russia. Set thy face against Russia. I'll prove it to you in a minute. The land of Magog. The word May means land, or the land of Russia. The chief prince of Meshach. Meshach is a word that came from became Moscow. And Tubal, or Tobol, and prophesy against him. Against whom? Against Russia. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O God. I'm against you, Russia. And the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, Moscow and Tobol. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army. Horses, there it is again, and horsemen, there you are again. All of them clothed with all sorts of armor, and a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. All right, now here's that same battle mentioned back in Jeremiah chapter 50 and Daniel chapter 11, that same end-time battle, Russia coming on Palestine from the north. Who's going to come with her? Notice you'll see it. Persia. Persia. What is Persia tonight? It's Iran. Did you know that Iran has a pact with Soviet Russia to fight for Russia in any alignment of the nations? Now, I want you to get these nations now. On this side, what nation? The United States. On this side, Russia and Egypt and China and the Arabs and now Iran. All right, let's go a step further. Ethiopia. Ethiopia has a pact with Russia that's been in effect ever since the Japan-Ethiopia war back in my childhood. Ethiopia would fight tonight with Russia. Libya. Everybody knows that Libya is pro-Russian tonight. All right, let me ask you a question then. So far, are all the nations lined up right? The end-time war, the nations lined up. Are they lined up exactly as God says they will be? Are you saying, Brother Howell, is the Lord going to come back soon? Is this it? I don't know if this is it or not. I don't know if this is it or not. I hope it is. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. It could be. and you'd be a fool to chance it. All right, let's go on. Gomer! That's verse 6. Gomer. Gomer was a tribe. Gomer was a son of Japheth. Japheth was one of Noah's sons that was spared through the flood, the father of the Gentiles. Gomer, a son of Japheth, started a tribe that settled in eastern Germany. Not Germany, eastern Germany. Did you know back in World War II when the American forces were coming across Germany from one side and the Russian forces across Germany from the other side and they met in the middle of Germany and Germany was divided right half in two? Did you know God didn't say, I'll declare, or I'll swan, or uh-oh, or what do you know? God planned it that way. Girl, you go back to Jeanette, you be quiet while I'm preaching. Now, I warned you. You sit still. You don't like that? You don't have any choice in the matter. At our church, the kids don't take over and run the church. At our church, we don't have a bunch of people demonstrating. At our church, the adults happen to run the church. And so, I thought you might like to need that. If you don't think you need it, you got it anyhow. I'm fed up to hear with the generation gap. There's nothing that wouldn't cure the generation gap or would cure it any faster than an old-fashioned razor strap. Amen. And so, the razor strap's going to be on our side during the end-time war. All right? So, God knew, saw, and planned that Russia someday would have eastern Germany. Now, when I first began preaching this, Germany was not divided. I traced this down when I was a kid preacher, 22 years of age, spent a whole week on this. I traced down every one of Japheth's sons to the nth. I mean, all the way down in history books and every way I could. And I came to the realization that Gomer settled in eastern Germany. And I couldn't understand why eastern Germany. And then when the war was over, and Russia had taken eastern Germany and America had taken western Germany, it became obvious that even the dividing of Germany is preparing us for the end time war. Okay, who's on this side? Who's on this side? Russia and Egypt and China and the Arabs and Persia, which is now Iran, and a country in Africa named Ethiopia and Libya and eastern Germany. Let's go a step further. And all his bands. The house of Togarma. Togarma is another word for Turkey. Check it. You don't have to take my word for it. You check it. Togarma settled, or was a tribe that settled around the Black Sea in the very land that is now Turkey. Is Turkey pro-West or pro-East tonight? Pro-East. Pro-Russia. Now, I have listed for you every nation that has to fight against America in the end-time war. And every one of them is lined up with Soviet Russia tonight. Every one of them. Now look, if you'd only had three or four, it'd be different. Russia has to be. She is. Egypt has to be. She is. China has to be. She is. The Arabs have to be. Did you know that a few months ago it looked like Jordan was pro-United States? King Hussein wasn't kidding anybody. He wanted to get the United States to slack up in the battle against the Arabs in their defense of Israel. When King Hussein found that he couldn't have much success in our forsaking Israel, suddenly now he's fighting against Israel, and tonight Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Jordan, and Egypt. 100 million Arabs fighting 3 million Jews. So there you have it. The nations fighting against America, you have to have Russia. They're lined up against us. Have to have Egypt. They're against us. Have to have China or the Middle East. They're against us. Have to have the Arabs. They're against us. Have to have Eastern Germany. They're against us. Have to have Iran. She's against us. Have to have Ethiopia. She's against us. Have to have Libya. She's against us.
Have to have Eastern Germany? She's against us. Have to have Turkey? She's against us. And whether you know it or not, all of these nations, just about, tonight, are at war. You say, do you mean the United States is at war? Sure. John Colston, come here. I want you and Jim Vineyard to get in a rock fight. Come here. John, come here. That means over here. I want you and Jim Vineyard to get in a rock fight. Pick up rocks and start throwing each other. Now then, you've run out of rocks. Keep on throwing. You're going to get beat. Here, here, here. Here. Let me ask you a question. Am I in the fight or not? Thank you. That's exactly what our nation is doing tonight. Now, watch this. Brother John, you tired? That's the farthest he's walked in a long time. Now then, you fellas start throwing rocks at each other. That over there, you have Syria. Keep throwing rocks. Syria. And here you have Israel. You have Egypt. Uh-oh, you run out of rocks. Turn around and get some from Russia there. Here, I'll give you some. You help me out. Come on. Ask a question. Am I at war with Bordway? Thank you. Now you can rest a week or two, John. You've worked enough for this week. Now, am I actually in hand-to-hand combat with Bordway? No. Am I at war with Bordway? Yes. The United States of America is at war with Russia tonight. And every nation that is lined up to fight against Russia in the Bible is already lined up. You're a fool not to be saved. How foolish not to know in your heart you've been born of the Spirit of God and ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bear in mind this, that before all of this takes place, Jesus is going to come for his own. Well, you say, when all this happens, I'm going to get saved. When all this happens, you won't have a chance to get saved. Because you will have turned down Jesus. When the trumpet of God sounds and the Lord Jesus Christ descends from heaven with a shout and the trumpet of God and the voice of the archangel and the dead in Christ rise and the living are saved, rise. Brother, at that moment, you have sealed your chance to ever be saved. God will not let you be saved after that. You say, well, if I saw all this happening, brother, it's happening. Well, when the war gets in full swing, I'm going to get saved. No, you're not. First place, you'll probably get killed. You'll probably... One half of the population of the entire world will be killed in 7 years. Probably you'll be killed. If you live, perchance if you live... You won't be saved because when Jesus comes, all who've heard the gospel have their eternities sealed and will never have a chance to get saved again. All right, turn please to Ezekiel chapter 38 again. Ezekiel chapter 38. We've seen these nations. Now, verse 5 is Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya. Verse 6 is Gomer and Togarma. Of the north quarters, that's Russia, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Now, they will fight against Palestine, in Palestine, to try to rule it, try to destroy the nation of Israel. Now, look at verse 12. Why are they coming to take a spoil? What spoil? The Middle Eastern oil. Now, in verse 13, you have a nation or some nations who stand up to fight against Russia and her allies, and here they are. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish. I wish I had time to go into this. I do not. But merchants of Tarshish and Sheba and Dedan deal with England. It was an island maritime nation in the extreme west. And to them, they knew nothing about America in those days. England was the most extreme western island nation on the face of the earth. He's talking about England. I can prove it to you. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, that's England, with all the young lions thereof. Oh, young lions? What's the symbol of England? A lion. But what would the young lions be? The British Empire. British Empire. So who's going to fight against Russia? British Empire. United States and the British Empire fighting against Russia. Young lions? Who's that? United States. One of the lions of Israel, little cubs. Australia and the British Empire. So on this side, we have Russia and Egypt and China and the Arabs and Turkey and Eastern Germany and Iran and Ethiopia and Libya. On this side, we have the United States and the British Empire fighting, or shall we say the West will fight. Now then, the honest, simple truth is, if there were a war tonight in the Middle East, England would fight with the United States. And Australia would fight with the United States. And the old British Empire, almost to a nation, if not to a nation, would fight with the United States. Consequently, let now reason, and I'll close. Reason for a minute. Tonight, Russian tanks and Russian planes are fighting American-made tanks and American-made planes over and in Israel, in the Golan Heights, in Syria, in the Sinai, and so forth. All right? Now, let's suppose that Israel loses the war. Now think. Give me your attention again for a few minutes. Let's suppose Israel loses the war. Now, what does that mean? That means we have no friend in the Middle East. What does that mean? That means if we lose the land of Israel, if Israel loses, and she's no more country, that means we will have not one single base in the Middle East from which to fight. That means we won't have one single place in the Middle East to put our soldiers. That means we wouldn't have a landing field in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia is threatening tonight to withdraw her oil from us. What would we do? Do you know, in U.S. News and World Report, an article I read said that if we did not have the oil from the Middle East coming to America, we would not have enough oil to last our nation 1 month. If Israel doesn't win that war, the United States of America, as sure as I'm standing here, will enter that war. And I mean, with our forces. When we enter that war against Russia, this battle has begun. And every nation of which I've told you tonight is already lined up. Now, what does that mean? Number one, that means you ought to get saved. You're playing with dynamite. And if you are not saved when Jesus comes, and he's coming before this war actually gets good and started, you're a fool not to be saved. Tonight you ought to say it. It's time I quit my wicked life and turn to Christ. Some of you folks tonight have beer in your icebox and whiskey in your icebox. Good night, this is no time for that. Our Lord's coming soon. Some of you folks tonight have dirty, filthy, rotten Playboy magazine and a filthy Penthouse magazine. Don't you laugh while I'm talking about something ruining our nation. You vulgar-minded, filthy-minded, Satan-inspired heathen, why don't you live decently in the sight of God Almighty? Go home and clean out your magazine rack and clean out your bookshelf and clean out your dirty rock music and get some decent music on your record player. Jesus is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. Amen. And when he comes, you'll wish 10,000 times you'd made it right with him. And I say to God's people, if I were you, I'd give myself completely to God. I'd give everything I had to God. Brother, when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of glory, I do not want him to find me with one dime of his money in my pocket. If I had, from the time that I started making money until this hour, If I had not given God 10% of my income, I'd go down to the bank tomorrow if I had to and borrow $10,000 on the house. And I'd put if I owed God $10,000, I'd pay him up. Brother, when Jesus comes, I won't look at him and say, Lord, I'm paid up. I'm paid up. I'd do it. These are serious days. If you know your Bible and read your newspaper, how in the world can you help but see that this could well be the closing hours of this age? Again, I say I do not know that it is. But for the first time in the history of the Israel-Arab warfare, the nations are lined up properly. 25 years ago, I could not preach this. I have a book out on Revelation. I wrote 20 years ago, maybe. I preached on this 25 years ago. I couldn't tell you about China. China wasn't communistic then. I couldn't tell you about Eastern Germany. Germany wasn't divided completely then. What I'm saying is, when I began preaching, Israel was not even a state. I couldn't get up then and say, like I say tonight, every nation under the sun that is mentioned in this book in the end time battle is on the right side tonight. Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, O then be wise, be saved, O tonight. Get right with God. Give him all you've got. Pay up every dime you owe him. Get busy for him. You do not know how long you'll have. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, settle on this building. I pray you take the hardest sinner in this room tonight and crumble him beneath the power of the Spirit of God. I pray that person that's the wickedest shall tremble at the thought of the coming of Christ so soon. I pray that you'd startle the most skeptical mind in this room. I pray that you'd shake the most critical person in this room. And I pray you'd speak to the hearts of all of us about preparing for the coming of our Savior. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Every eye is closed, please. No one looking, please. No one looking. Every eye closed. Nothing else, just for courtesy's sake. If Jesus came tonight, would you rise to meet him?